The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready? Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow, with a zero, I don't know, at Degenerates 975, and of course you can always text the show at 713-780-3776. Happy Monday. Hope everybody's having a great one. If you had to go back to school today, sorry about that, but hey, maybe you learned something. My son moved into UH this weekend. Oh. We talk about feeling old. And I feel old all the time now. I mean, I'm pretty much...
That's probably mostly because you're old.
I'm old, and I have a foot in the grave already. So, yeah, but that was one of those kind of milestone moments where you're like, holy bleep, my kid's going to college? That's old.
Yeah.
I remember when the little booger was born. So
I saw a thing on Deadspin that I just tweeted out.
Yeah?
They had a guy who ranked the Pop-Tart flavors.
Okay.
What's your favorite Pop-Tart flavor?
It has to have the cinnamon frosting on it. The cinnamon frosting.
The ones. Brown sugar cinnamon.
Yeah, brown sugar cinnamon, yes.
John?
Oh, man, I don't know. I like strawberry. I liked the s'mores. Not sure. I have to look at all of them to pick.
Well, his rankings are as follows. And I agree. I don't know if I put them 1-2, but unfrosted blueberry and unfrosted strawberry. Unfrosted Pop-Tarts are way better than you would think. It tastes more like a breakfasty thing than like just pure sugar. But then he goes s'mores 3, blueberry 4, strawberry 5, chocolate fudge 6, cherry 7, raspberry 8, brown sugar cinnamon 9. Getting hit by the bus delivering your insulin 10, chocolate chip 11, unfrosted brown sugar cinnamon 12, frosted chocolate chip cookie dough 13, cinnamon roll 14, chocolatey caramel 15, cookies and cream 16, hot fudge sundae 17. I can just go ahead and tell you 13, all these chocolate chip cookie dough, cinnamon roll, cookies and cream, I've never had any of that stuff. But this is a complete disrespect to brown sugar cinnamon and chocolate fudge. Chocolate fudge is a delicious Pop-Tart, particularly when it's not hot. Do you like your Pop-Tarts toasted, Fred?
Yes, but not hot, but just warm.
What about you, John?
I toast them just a little bit.
I think it depends on the flavor. Like, I like the fruit ones. I like to eat them untoasted. Because I don't know why. It tastes better to me.
Okay.
But with the chocolate stuff, I like them a little warm.
You like it warm. Okay.
Of course, I have to be honest. I don't think I've had a Pop-Tart in 10, 15 years.
It's been a long time for me, too. If there's no frosting, I will toast. If there's frosting, I don't toast. In fact, when I was in high school, I told my parents to stop buying me breakfast cereal because I would just take Pop-Tarts and break them up and pour milk on them and eat that like cereal. It was delicious.
Okay. Sounds like it makes sense.
But to have brown sugar cinnamon at 9, this is a ridiculous list.
Well, you know, I love cinnamon anything, but those things, frosted, the non-frosted ones I'm not that crazy about. I they're my second favorite, but I love the frosted ones, or at least I used to when I ate those kind of things. Chris Whitmire's on Twitter. He says, I'm trying Twitter for a change. What are the odds Fred has any single barrel left? You know damn well it was a fight weekend. There's no way that was going to last. I shared some of it with my friend who was hosting the fight Saturday night.
I savor that stuff. So, I still probably have half a bottle of that stuff left.
Yeah, I there's some left. I'm not going to lie, but most of it took a beating. Yeah, Saturday night got rough for me. I way overdid it, but it was fun, man. There's too much going on. It was just a great weekend. All right, let's squeeze in a phone call. Jim, you were on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, guys. Do you guys have access to Elias Sports Bureau?
No.
Okay. In that case, just opinion then. Top 5 and or 10 offensive lines. Looking at our fantasy draft coming up this Saturday, I want to find out, you know, the way I view it is if you've got a strong offensive line, even if you have, you know, top 3 to 4 running backs, they're your studs, right? They're going to go. AP's going to go. You got your guys that are going to produce no matter what. But then when you start getting into that, you know, 5 through 15 range, my thought is go with the stronger offensive line. So just to kind of get your guys' take on the better offensive lines in football for this year.
And for run, for run blocking or pass blocking or both? Okay.
I'm guessing he's saying for run blocking.
I'm guessing for run blocking as well. The Cowboys are the best for sure, and that's why people are interested in Ezekiel Elliott.
I'll tell you what I might do, though. I might draft Alfred Morris at some point.
Wouldn't be a bet. Especially if you draft Elliott, I feel like you almost have to. I think Carolina's very good on the offensive line. The Saints normally have good run blocking. Last night didn't look like...
Yeah, I'm a little worried about theirs because they had some issues last year too. So this is... And I look more at what happened in the regular season last year than I do in what happens in preseason. Unless it's a trend. And then I look to see if it's been corrected or at least they're trying to correct it. Not so much so far.
I think that Minnesota's got a good offensive line, which obviously Adrian Peterson's going to be in that conversation anyway. The Eagles have a good offensive line for run blocking anyway. And the Cardinals. Those are the ones that sort of, I guess if I'm running through in my head, those are the ones that jump out to me. Yeah, that's the best I can get.
I don't mind the Falcons' offensive line, actually, even though
Falcons are good, yeah. I think they're better pass blocking than run blocking.
Probably.
And they, when you look at the names on there, it's not great, but... Andy Levitre fit in well there. Chris Chester fit in well there. They're doing some good things. They're getting better. I like the Raiders too, but again, that's another one, that much better pass blocking than run blocking team.
I thought your Bills did a pretty good job of run blocking last year for the most part too. Whoever they threw out there ran pretty well.
Richie Incognito did a lot for them. So I would say, yeah, they on the left side, they've got a really good pair, and on the right side, they're pretty awful. So that's kind of, to me, the Bills are about average.
As far as running the ball, though, I still like what they did. And there are some question marks in that backfield. And one thing, rather than look at that, I try to find guys who are backup running backs behind overvalued guys. Like, I think Zeke Elliott's going to be good, but he's going really high in drafts already. And A, is he going to stay healthy for a whole season? Most of them don't. Yeah. And if he doesn't, you know, what if he doesn't play well? They got a pretty good veteran backup they signed.
Yeah.
And so you can invest in him a lot cheaper, and you might wind up with a really, really good running back.
Well, and it particularly in the situations where guys have an injury history.
Yeah.
So if you can get your hands on, like, for instance, the Kansas City Chiefs. Jamaal Charles, fantastic. You'd love to have him on your team.
Also, pretty good offensive line there too. That's another one.
But if you don't get him, taking a Sharkhandrick West or Spencer Ware, those kind of guys can help you out big time. And I mean, they're almost always sitting on the board around round 11 and 12, and you're just taking crapshoots there anyway. Take one of those guys and hold on to him and expect that Jamaal Charles is going to get hurt. I know that's a horrible thing to say, but...
Every running back is going to get hurt at some point in the season. It's just... It is... To me, those guys take more of a beating than anybody. And a guy with an injury history like that, you should be concerned. So... 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. Do you want to... go over the AP poll when we come back, because few surprises in this thing.
When you ask me if I want to talk about football, I will always say yes.
Okay, well,
so many times I'm going to be like, oh, no, I don't feel like talking about football.
John, here's the tease to this. You're going to have to play 14 other songs before you get to that one, okay? Just so you know.
I just saw a one.
It's not number one, though.
Oh, damn it.
No, yeah, I'm sorry. Unfortunately, there's another number after it. So,
Fred, we are 2 weeks away from less than that for college football.
Yeah,
we're
basically, less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's coming right up. The time is now to get the home theater seat you want and the home theater seat that really, as far as your wife's concerned, that you need. Town & Country Leather's home theater seating sale. Buy 3 power reclining theater seats for $29.99 and get the fourth for $0.00. That's free. That's right, a 4-seat row. They've got 10 colors to choose from for just $29.99. So you're saving $1,000. They can put in whatever configuration you like. If you like the straight line, you can have that. If you like it to curve, they can have that. And like I said, 10 colors. These are high-quality seats. Fine leather, good power, reclines. You got to see them to believe them. Town & Country Leather's home theater sale. They've got 3 locations: Post Oak at San Felipe, I-45 in Spring, and Grand Parkway at West Belfort. There's no reason that you shouldn't be going in and checking it out. If you've been in the market for theater seating, now is the time to pounce. You're not going to find deals like this for very long. It's Town & Country Leather, those 3 locations, plus townandcountryleather.com for the home theater seating sale going on now at Town & Country Leather.
For sports is ESPN 97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Happy Monday. Hope you're having a great one. Now I'm totally craving Pop-Tarts. Thanks, guys. Appreciate that. A little college football news.
Real pro, drop my headphones.
It happens. This is a very strange announcement to me. This is how far Gunnar Kiel has fallen. He will not start for the University of Cincinnati. Hayden Moore won the job. Moore was pretty good last year when he was in. He beat Miami, I believe, in a game. But Gunnar Kiel is still competing with Ross Trail for the backup spot. Man, that was...
Wow.
Yeah, that was a guy, Notre Dame, Indiana, LSU... Right, he kind of bounced around to all those places that one committed or went at one time or another, and now he can't win. He can't win the job at Cincinnati. It's very strange. All right, we promised you the top 25 rankings.
Well, he missed the bowl game, right, for quote personal reasons.
Yeah.
So, who knows what that had to do or what that was about? That's. Yeah, they've obviously never came out and said what happened, but
somebody would have probably drafted him if he'd have come out this year.
Probably so,
because he's got NFL size, he's got an NFL arm. Apparently, doesn't have an NFL head, but these things happen. I like the way he looked last year when he played. I mean, he really does. I mean, he does look the part. So. 713-780-ESPN is your number. I'm assuming you're joking, Soria, when you say Romo and picks to the Broncos for Von Miller. No. Stop with all that.
Some crazy.
Yeah, I don't
cowboy
know. Cowboy fan. There's probably some cowboy fan blog out there that's going around throwing out ridiculous stuff. Please stop. Please never read those blogs again. Go find one that's not stupid. Okay, here's your top 25. Alabama 1, no shock. Clemson 2, no shock. For the rest of them, you tell me just right, too high, too low. Oklahoma is number 3.
I think that's about right.
4, Florida State.
Too high.
5, LSU.
Too high.
6, Ohio State.
Too low.
7, Michigan.
Too low.
8, Stanford.
Too high.
Feels high to me, too. 9, Tennessee.
Too high.
10, Notre Dame.
Probably about right.
Number 11, Ole Miss.
I'll go slightly too high.
12, Michigan State.
Too high.
13, TCU.
About right.
14, Washington.
About right.
Boy, they're all over Washington this year.
I like them too.
At 15, the University of Houston.
That's probably about right.
16, UCLA.
It's probably close.
17, Iowa.
You already know what I think.
You know you have about five times as many two highs as
I know.
You do.
I know. I don't like very many teams.
18, Georgia.
That might be too low. I'm excited about Georgia this year. I think that change is going to be good for them.
19, Louisville.
That's too low.
Yeah, I think that's too low. That's going to be a good team this year. 20, USC.
That's too low.
21, Oklahoma State.
That's about right.
22, North Carolina.
I almost want to say too low, but I think that's about right.
23, Baylor.
Too high.
24, Oregon.
Too low.
Agreed. 25, Florida.
That's about right to me.
See, that's too low for me. I think they're going to be better than that. Your others receiving votes and coming in at number 27, Texas A&M.
Okay.
Coming in at number 35, Arkansas. At number 30,
that might be too low. I like Arkansas this year.
At 36, the Texas Longhorns. Mm. So, meanwhile, as far as UH.
So, UH is the only non-Power 5 school, besides Notre Dame.
Right,
but Notre Dame, right?
Notre Dame's a different animal, though. So, yeah, they are. And apparently, they appeared on 59 of the 61 ballots. They were listed 20th or lower by 12 voters. Two voters left them off, and Joseph Duarte of the Chronicle tracked them down. And these are not guys from newspapers that you probably have ever heard of. Well, you will have heard of one of them. Ed Johnson of the Albuquerque, New Mexico Journal.
Okay.
And Mitch Bingle of the Charleston, West Virginia Gazette Mail. How is it that Charleston, West Virginia Gazette Mail has a vote in the AP Top 25 poll?
Who knows?
Mitt Vingle said he bases his preseason poll not off projected records, but how much talent schools begin with. So, yeah, strictly.
So it doesn't take into account the schedule they're going to play and things like that?
No, which, okay, that's a power ranking is what that is. Yeah. That's a different
animal. Because let me tell you, if that's the case, UH is not, they may be the 25th most talented team on that list, but that's not. That's not what rankings are.
Right.
I mean, to me, you're trying to project where they're going to finish. I mean, UH, when you look at their schedule and you look at the conference they play in, it's hard to find more than, and they, not to say they don't have talent. When I said that, I'm not saying that they're scrubby. If you're making the top 25, you got a lot of talent. But to just leave them off completely?
Yeah, this guy said, so yes, strictly on talent, I think there are 25 teams with more than UH. The Cougars, as with all teams, can prove me wrong. The other guy said he had UH in the bottom half of the poll, but ultimately decided to, and I actually can understand this, although this is my polls are stupid, ultimately decided to include a Pac-12 presence, USC and UCLA, and add a Mountain West school, San Diego State, to, quote, counter the dreaded East Coast bias.
So he thinks San Diego State is more talented than UH?
No, this is a different guy. This is the other guy. First guy was based purely on talent. The second guy did it to counter the East Coast bias and get a West Coast school in there, San Diego State. He said
Maybe you should, instead of worrying about bias, be around 15 to 17. Just vote for who you think is the best.
Well, this is why these polls are stupid. Thank God this one doesn't mean anything anymore. The same guy says, of course, if Houston beats Oklahoma, I'll probably put them in the top five. Such is the magic of polling.
Well, top five, I don't
magic
know about that.
Magic is stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, there you go. I think that Brother Bear wants to know what are the odds UH beats OU and then climbs in the top 10. I think if they beat OU, they're clearly in the top 10.
I think top 10, yeah. Top five, I don't know.
Yeah, 10, this early especially, before some of these other teams have lost. But you're going to be shocked if Florida State gets upset week one. I mean, somebody in that top five or six is going to lose.
A lot of them could.
I mean, there's some big matchups. Clemson could lose to Auburn. I don't think they're going to, but they could. LSU could lose to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it's a – I I love that we have stuff to talk about. Getting a lot of texts about how can we get tickets for your fight.
I'll have a link this week to get tickets. So I'll have a site that you can buy tickets and T-shirts on. So that'll be up. I'm hoping it depends on when my shirt guy gets the mock up back to me. I'm hoping it gets up this like by Wednesday at the latest.
Cool. And you will let people know.
Yes.
So we'll mention it on the show. So nothing to worry about. Definitely. All right. 713-780-ESPN. Man, everybody wants to talk about these Pop-Tarts.
I told you. I mean, it's a crazy list. It's offensive.
Ben says Pop-Tarts with no icing is communist.
I don't know. They're underrated, but not to the point where they should be one and two. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's like me saying, yeah, I like Washington this year, but I'm going to put them at number one. It's not crazy. Let's not get out of control here. But, I mean, brown sugar cinnamon at number nine, that'd be like putting Alabama at 15 in the polls. It's just, if you do that, you're something wrong with you.
Nick says wild berry for life, best by far. I'm not sure I've ever had wild berry.
I don't think I have either. Anything that looks like that crazy, those neon colors, I tend to stay away from.
Yeah, and your fight's at that arena theater, right?
Yes.
Yeah. We've just got that one, too. I'm kind of weird, though. When I get something I like, I won't branch out. Like, if it comes to a Pop-Tart, I love brown sugar cinnamon. Unless they're all gone, that's what I'm going to get. I'm very weird this way. When I go to a certain restaurant, once I find the signature dish that I like there, like, I go to two or three different Chinese restaurants because I get kind of their go-to dish when I go there. Like, I go to China Garden for the lemon chicken and the egg rolls because they're fantastic.
Yeah.
And they have other great food there.
But you always get the same stuff.
I always do. Every time I go, lemon chicken and an extra egg roll.
Yeah.
So
I've gotten to where, like, when I go to these barbecue, like, I go to Killen's. I went to Killen's for the longest time. I never tried anything besides brisket and beef rib.
Yeah, I was kind of the same way.
And now I've gotten to where I order, like, a little bit of everything, and I can't even eat it when I'm there because I always eat the brisket and the beef rib, and then I take the other stuff home. But I don't know what it tastes like. I don't know what it tastes like when it's fresh off the pit. I have no idea.
Yeah, the wife made the tactical error of trying their chicken fried steak when we're down there.
Oh,
why would you order chicken fried steak?
I've heard good things about it, but I'll never know.
It was. Well, I took a bite out of it. I wasn't impressed. So
I mean, listen, that guy's a chef. I'm sure he's doing great things, but I'll never know about it because unless all the barbecue's sold out and they've got that. If the barbecue's sold out and they've got that, I'll order it. Until then, I mean, you should have given her a good stern talking to, Fred.
Oh, I did. She was uninvited for the next trip.
All right, guys, I'm going to tell you about dirt-free carpet, and it is that time of year. Kids are back in school. And they're bringing home all the stuff that they're walking in school, probably stepping in gum. You know, imagine what it's like in those elementary school bathrooms. You know, they're walking around with pee on the floor. Gross. And then they're dragging that back into your house. The bus, all the most gross places your kids walk, they're dragging it all back onto your floor. Yeah, listen, guys, the other carpet cleaning companies will leave behind too much water, soapy residue, unhealthy chemicals, and allergens that'll make your family sick. They'll end up leaving the carpets dirtier than they found them. That's not the case with Dirt Free. Give them a call, 281-DIRT-FREE. Go chemical-free with Dirt Free. They use powerful engines to create high-pressure steam made from their patented super water. Your carpets are fresh and deep clean without soap or unhealthy dirt-attracting chemicals. They've been doing this for over 30 years, cleaning upholstery, floors, oriental rugs, even your air ducts. Call Dirt Free Carpet today, 281-DIRT-FREE. Tell them you heard about it right here on ESPN 97.5. And they'll do three rooms of carpet for just $99.95 and throw in a free speed dry to the first 25 callers. 281-DIRT-FREE, that's 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free Carpet.
This is The Blitz.
The Blitz
on ESPN.
ESPN.
97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, 713-780-ESPN. So I guess one of the Dynamo owners wrote a letter today saying that the status quo is unacceptable to his fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're probably noticing because of the attendance.
Exactly. And, hey, at least I got a road win. That's it. That's all I know about the Dynamo. Let's grab a phone call. Matt, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Sports.
Hey, now.
AJ, explain something to me real quick, because I'm going to talk about the fight this weekend. So I'm going to take the other fighters or commentators or words on it that Connor and Nate Diaz, neither one of them should be fighting at 170. Do you agree with that or no?
Nate Diaz has bounced back and forth his career. He's fought mostly at 155, but he's fought multiple times at 170 before this. And so the reason he took the fight – okay, go ahead. I'll let you ask your question. You may –
Yeah, so really my question is, explain to me from a fighter standpoint, if you're not supposed to be at that weight, what that does to your body going from 145, thinking you're going to fight at 155, going to 170, everybody telling you not to do it again at 170, but then doing it anyways. What does that do to cardio and your body? What, just kind of break that down for me, and where do you want to see them fight at, at what weight class?
If they fight again, it'll be at 155. From a cardio standpoint, for a guy like Nate Diaz, who doesn't carry around a bunch of bulk, like he doesn't carry around a bunch of muscle weight. And remember, Nate Diaz does triathlons for fun when he's not training for a fight. I mean, he is an elite athlete from a cardio standpoint. Connor, on the other hand, for a guy... Connor is a massive 145, should probably be, it would be a more natural 155, but he can make 145 and has had no problems making. He hasn't missed weight, so, and can make a title weight for it. So it's not to say that he shouldn't be there, but his body is that of a 155er. So for him to make it to 170 and have to add on 15 pounds of muscle, because you don't want it to be junk weight, but that makes it a lot harder. Makes it a lot harder on your cardio, and you saw that as the fight went on. You know, a fighter gets used to operating with his body at a certain weight, and anytime that changes, it's a strain, and you could see that affecting Connor. I mean, if you're carrying around a bunch of extra muscle, it makes it harder for you to get oxygen to all that. It's a tiring thing, and when your body is not at its peak weight, it's never going to perform to its peak. So can he hit harder at 170 than he can at 145? I'm sure, because he's drinking that extra protein shake every day and eating that pork chop and things like that. He's not having to starve himself. And, it makes weigh-ins easier, you know, because you have to consider that as well. He probably cuts a lot of weight to make 145, and that's an energy sap as well, and he doesn't have to cut to make 170. That said, the reason they fought at 170 the first time is that Nate was basically given 11 days notice. And he said, in 11 days, I can fight at 170. And they did. And then Connor insisted that the rematch be at 170 because it's a pride thing. He wouldn't have let it go if he'd never been able to come back and get that win. So that's what it boiled down to. Now they'll fight now at 155, which is a more natural weight for both of them. Connor won't have to carry around extra weight, and Nate will be where he normally fights at.
Hey, John, who were the last two Rock the Mic finalists, since we didn't get to announce their names on air?
Let me check for you.
Okay. I'm just curious. I'd like to know who the last two were. I didn't listen to all of them yesterday. I just listened to a few.
Yeah.
Wanted to check in on a couple of favorites that I think. I wanted to hear them.
Okay.
So... We'll save that. We may put odds on them all later.
Okay.
We'll have to see. Let's try a phone call. Ernest, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Yes, sir. Sports guy.
Sports to you.
Question. It's going to sound dumb, but Troy Aikman, usually he's always coming out on the games, you know, announcing them and stuff like that. Is he doing that this year again?
I'm sure he will.
Yeah, he's part of that Fox team, yeah.
I'm just really tired of hearing his voice and his condescending about what every player is doing. And, oh, well, you know, back in our day, we didn't do that and blah, blah, blah. I'm really tired of him. I wish he would just retire from that, too. Thank you, guys.
Listen, the reality is every one of those ex-football players, that's what they do.
Yeah. Back in my day. You mean back when Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin and those and that offensive line were carrying you, Troy? Yeah, okay. No, I have a very simple solution for that. It's called the mute button. I can't get through. Usually if I'm watching, well, when I'm watching Sunday Night Football, Chris Collinsworth will make it about 4 minutes and I got to mute him.
Yeah.
Aikman, well, it's more because of Buck than Aikman. I can't stand him. So he makes it about 4 minutes. The only ones that I could watch were Tirico and Gruden. And now that Tirico's gone, I'm not sure that that one's going to last either. So, yeah. And so I'll mute it. And if something happens and I need to hear commentary on it, I'll flip it back on.
I always watch and then I just bitch about it.
Yeah, I eventually have to turn it back on. But the more I watch it without it, you don't really need them.
No.
You have to put some music on in the background. Or if you like the radio call better. The problem is the radio calls are always off with the TV. You know, they'll drop back the pass and you're hearing screaming for an 80-yard touchdown. The guy's still looking downfield. But yeah, a lot of those guys, well, I don't know. I think Collinsworth is the most insufferable human being ever. Yeah. But I just, it's like anything else. If I don't like it, I just don't listen.
Yep.
And I need to watch the games. I need to know what's going on. But I damn sure don't need to listen to them. Michael asks, of the two, who are more corrupt, IOC or FIFA? I'm going to go with FIFA.
Yeah, probably FIFA.
Yeah, we haven't talked much about the last of the Olympics, but the
I didn't watch any Olympics this week.
Really?
Or this weekend.
I was going to watch the men's basketball. Well, I watched the marathon.
What?
I watched the last hour of the marathon. It was in the morning. There was nothing else on.
That has to be the most boring thing to watch of all Olympic sports.
I was rooting for the little white guy American. He got a bronze. So,
Jung, have you ever watched the marathon in the Olympics?
No.
That's the, I mean, you talk about
I like seeing guys that are doing something I could never even dream of at that level. I mean, it's just amazing. And
guys are doing something that I could never dream of.
Well, no, but
that's a, if you told me to rank the made-for-TV sports in the Olympics, that's dead-ass last. That and the one where they swim for miles and miles. Who wants to watch that? If you're going to have a race, that race needs to be over in less than 5 minutes. Less than 5 minutes. That's the cutoff.
See, I kind of enjoy the strategy of watching when that lead group's going to take off or when somebody's going to make their move and everybody else tries to keep up. But yeah, I watched that and I was going to watch the basketball, but it got so out of hand early that I didn't need to. But that's it. That's all I really watched. There was nothing else on. Saturday morning. Let's grab one more phone call. Kerry, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, sports. Man, speaking of the commentary, the guys that did the commentary for Dallas, one of the guys was saying Dak Prescott. The other guy was saying it right, Prescott, the whole game. So did he do his homework in knowing how to pronounce the guy's name? And through the whole game, the other guy was saying it right. Why couldn't he just get it right?
Yeah.
It was driving me cuckoo, man.
Yeah, that's what I get that a lot. And it, like when one guy will try to drop the hints that, hey, man, you're saying it wrong, but the other guy doesn't pick up on that. Or maybe he's just stubborn, thinks he's saying it right.
He gets stubborn.
Yeah.
Okay, did you get the winners for us?
I do. I'll give you the names.
When we come back? Is that a tease? Or are you going to give them to me now?
No, I'm going to, like, hand them to you.
Oh, okay. You can't. Is there a tough pronunciation there that you don't want to do?
No, there isn't, but I figured I'd let you do it.
Fair enough. All right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. The Rock the Mic finale is at Sherlock's Pub Friday. Who will become the champ? Join us for the Blitz broadcast and the finale at Sherlock's on Westheimer, just off Beltway 8 West, between 4 until 7 to cheer on your favorites. And the HD show with Fred Davis and Henry Thomas for Max at 7 o'clock tonight. So to recap here, your 8 Rock the Mic finalists, and we recommend you be in the building by 5:30 because we're going to start it at 5:45 this year to make sure we have enough time. Historically, we've always either run over or never quite gotten it done if we do the last if we just do the last hour. So, Craig Koshkin, David Claiborne, Victor Ariza, Todd Keller, Hot Dog Holly Seymour, Trey Campbell with the weird hair, Drew Bryant, and Syed, our former intern, Hamadeh. Hamadeh, correct?
Hamadeh.
Hamadeh, okay. That's your eight. So, Syed was an intern. I think Victor interned here, too. But he was a former student of mine at San Jack back when I was teaching.
Okay.
So, that's a pretty good crew.
I got some feedback from Barry and Mike. I don't want to share it.
Okay.
But I did.
Yeah, because I kind of disagree with them on a couple of them. So, okay. Because I listen too.
I got to go back through and listen to those. Yeah. They're all on Facebook, so I'll listen to them.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, I got this on Twitter from ATX Hobo Girl earlier in the day, who she hasn't been around much lately, but she tweeted this as a potential gem of the day, and I kind of think it's a winner. Really, the headline sort of says it all, as it usually does, and this is from State College, Pennsylvania. So, no, there's no Sandusky.
Yeah.
It's nothing like that. Professor allegedly pushed off cliff by friends who thought they were in his will.
Not great. Thought, but weren't sure about,
yeah,
right?
If you're not sure, don't push him over the cliff. A woman has been charged along with a man in the death of a Penn State professor who police say was pushed off a cliff and fell 80 feet. Danelle Geyer, 32, was arraigned Saturday night on charges of first and third degree murder, conspiracy, aggravated assault, and evidence tampering. George Ischler Jr., 39, had previously been charged in the death of Ronald Bettig, an associate professor of media studies, whose remains were found last week. Authorities alleged court documents the two originally plotted to have Ischler kill Bettig in the ocean during a trip and later came up with a plot to kill him at the quarry. They alleged the pair persuaded him to travel to the quarry by telling him they could harvest marijuana there. That would probably lure me out as well. They alleged that Geyer told the police that he told her the plants were so close to the edge that Bettig might fall, but if he didn't, Ischler would help him. And then authorities allegedly pushed him and he fell 80 feet to his death.
Oh.
56-year-old professor looking for weed, pushed to his death. Apparently they were friends, but not that good of friends because they're not in the will. So congratulations. You killed a guy thinking you were getting paid off. Now you're going to get caught. Now you're going to jail.
Right.
And I don't even think you got weed out of it. That's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
I thought it was going to be another Pokemon update.
No. Do you have one?
No. I just didn't really have one today.
It's been kind of quiet on the Pokemon front of late.
You think school people started, are stopping?
So. Yeah.
School's starting up. They're probably going to just stop playing it altogether.
Let's squeeze in a phone call real quick. Tom, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Doing sports.
Sports it is. Hey, I've actually spent 2 hours of my hungover Sunday morning listening to Game Day to check out the Rock the Mic guys. Anybody standing out to you just yet? I have two picks.
Well, give me yours. I haven't heard all of them yet.
There was a girl from Philly and a guy who was a Steelers fan. That really sounded good.
Where are you from?
New Orleans.
Okay. And for some reason you were attracted to the Philly and the Pittsburgh fan.
That just made sense.
Okay. Well, it's good to hear. I think everybody can go on the, is it on the ESPN 97.5 Facebook page?
Yep, and you go to videos and you can see them all.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna go through those tonight. In fact, what I will do is I will come out with a preseason AP poll.
Okay.
Before Friday. And I will have them ranked in the order based on that.
And then I'll do what you did with the football poll. I'll tell you too high, too low, or just right.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I think it was Trey. Trey, the name you were looking for, William Jackson, not Eli Apple. He was talking about losing a cornerback in the draft last year. It was not Eli Apple.
Oh, did Trey blow one?
Yeah, he did.
What happens?
Here's a
hint. You know what I do all the time? I just say, I don't know that guy's name. When I can't remember, I just say, I don't know his name.
Well, they're not going to be able to get away with that. What they'll have to do is say something like, well, they lost a really good cornerback in the first round of the draft. And then, you know, just move on from there.
Yeah.
Don't, somebody says Spencer Tillman is the worst on TV today. Spencer actually is really good at his real job. I can't listen to him on Texans games, though.
What's his real job?
Just like college football.
Oh, okay.
And I think he's pretty good on that. But now that Texans homer broadcast of the preseason games is so bad.
Who's the guy who does the TV broadcast?
Well, Spencer does the color. I don't know who does the.
You don't know who that guy is? That, do you know his name?
I don't know.
He's kind of a weird looking dude.
I think he's been doing it for years, right?
Yeah, he's not good either. But unfortunately, that was the only positive to being stuck watching this concert Saturday night. Was I had my in my corner, I had the Texans game on, and I couldn't hear the sound. So
there were people talking to me about the Texans game on Saturday night, but there was a UFC event. If it comes down to a preseason football or a UFC event, guess where I'll be?
Yeah.
But I actually didn't even watch the game until last night, after I watched the night up.
I was wondering why you kept referring to it as a game last night.
Oh, yeah, that's why. Yeah, that's why, because I watched it last night.
I watched the game while the concert was on, and then when it got over just in time for us to catch the tail end of the fight before the McGregor fight. So I wasn't all that interested in the undercard. I just wanted to watch a big fight. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. We have another hour to go.
Definitely spilled water in here.
Oh, boy. I've done that many times.
Yep.
Joshua says AJ should put odds on Rock the Mic and Fred goes over and under the payouts with beer. That's a thought. All right. Can we get one of the interns to bring some napkins in here?
Hey, John, can I do that on the coming back?
Is it bad?
Yeah, it's bad.
Okay. All right.
Cool.
Quick break. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Hold on. I wasn't ready for this.
Okay. Sorry. Well, there you go. That's a
I'm
good
ready
save.
Now.
All okay, right. Cool. Good save. We'll be right back. Another hour to go. Hopefully, it's the Blitz.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.